This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Featuring former federal prosecutor and president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, Nima Rahmani.
What does the future hold for Judge Gull, for Richard Allen, for the entire case of the Delphi murders? It's one that gets stranger and stranger by the day. Just recently, Judge Gull has responded to the requests from the defense of Richard Allen, although she is kind of saying, you're not really the defense, so I really don't need to respond. And I don't really need to put you back in place either. It's twisted. It's weird. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what is truly best. One would think that if you want these two attorneys to be representing you, you should be able to get those two attorneys to represent you. The state of Indiana, although not so much thinking that at this moment in time. Here to discuss, Nima Rahmani, former federal prosecutor. Once you've had a chance to take a look at the response of Gull and the response from the Attorney General, Todd Wakota, what's your take on where this is headed next for Richard Allen?
Yeah, really sort of strange case gets stranger, right? You have Judge Gull, who's doubling down. I mean, first, she didn't want to obviously disclose that transcript of the in-chambers conference. Certainly helps Allen's lawyers. But again, she keeps saying that they were incompetent, which may well be true, but you didn't have a hearing. You didn't give them notice. You didn't give them an opportunity to present their case. You're basing it on the very limited information that, you know, this material was on a conference room table and someone got access to it that maybe shouldn't have. But look, you can't draw that conclusion without having the hearing. That's why in the Murdoch case, we're going to have an evidentiary hearing, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing would be needed in Allen's case. I think she could have gotten away with a disqualification based on a potential conflict, because for that, you don't need a hearing, right? Mm-hmm. You say, listen, regardless of whether they messed up or not, Allen, you got a claim against these lawyers. So you need a whole new set just to make sure that your rights are protected.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they did something wrong, but they may have. And you might have a case against them. So you need another lawyer. But she's saying, no, these lawyers were incompetent. These lawyers were incompetent. Well, you haven't given those lawyers a chance to prove that they weren't. In fact, the burden's on someone to show that they are indeed incompetent. It's not even on the burden on them. So you basically come to a conclusion without providing any evidence and allowing them to present their case. So I think that incompetence ruling will be overturned.
And I guess I'm going to go to that. Were they incompetent? The story that we've heard now from them is the stuff was out, big conference room table, their war room, they're working on the case. A former employee, friend that was trusted, that I guess the last person you'd think to be walking around with a camera taking pictures of evidence to sell it, but it happened. It wasn't like Baldwin and Rosie were there doing that themselves. When this is in the confines of one's own private office, is that incompetence, or is that just very bad misfortune that you have a shitty friend that did something like that to you?
Yeah, it's really sort of a reasonableness standard, right? So we're lawyers. We have a duty to keep, client information confidential, a duty to keep, information that's subject to a protective order or a gag order evidence. We need to keep that. But look, I have a law firm here in my building and I secure it and I have an alarm and someone breaks in and steals something, I don't think anyone's going to say, Nima Rahmani, you're incompetent. You took reasonable steps to safeguard the materials. Now, look, is putting stuff on a conference room table incompetent? Potentially, but it's not necessarily so. If they provide evidence that, listen, there's a limited number of people that can access that room, there's a key card system, there's some sort of security, and this individual got access, it was unauthorized, but we were diligent in safeguarding the material, that is not incompetent. And you can't really jump to that conclusion. It's calling a lawyer incompetent, it's basically you're saying they've committed malpractice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that it's certainly possible, but you can't just jump to the conclusion without knowing, without really having more information than it's on the conference room, someone accessed it that shouldn't. Again, what steps did they take to protect it? And if they were reasonable, then that's not incompetent.
And why did she not just go to an evidentiary hearing? I mean, it seems like so many of these things could have been avoided. So many of these headaches, totally not needed. Why was this rush to judgment the way that she did it handled? Is this just someone who is having a bad day, kind of a hothead, and here's what I'm going to do and say, and I'm the end-all, be-all power, and maybe you overstep? Or I don't know. I mean, is there something else at play here? And I'm not going Odinism or anything like that. I'm going more so, was the state not ready to move forward with this case? And you had that hard deadline that was coming up fairly soon if those attorneys stayed on with Richard Allen.
Yeah, potentially, but I put this more on the judge than the prosecution. Look, if you're going to disqualify lawyers in one of the biggest cases in the country, any type of murder case, right? But especially if you're talking about potential, you know, capital case there, right? Indiana still has the death penalty. You want to make sure the record is absolutely clear. I mean, defendants have a right to choose their lawyer. You're basically saying, Richard Allen, you can't choose your own lawyer, right? So you want to make sure everything is on the record. You really dotted those I's, crossed those T's. You have the transcript for appeal. You don't just jump to conclusions like this in a case that a lot of different appellate courts are going to be looking at. Because again, if it ends up going the death penalty route and he killed two young girls, at least allegedly, you have your mandatory state and federal appeal. So this is a judge, frankly, that maybe it was a power trip or maybe really wasn't thinking down the road and thinking carefully, but really did a poor job in handling this case, should have created a much, much better record.
I don't know if I'm reading the tea leaves here too deep, but when I look at this document that came from the attorney general, we see some verbiage in here stating that the defense attorneys, Baldwin and Rossi, is not presently warranted. Reinstating them is not presently warranted. But it also then goes on to say that the correct course of action wouldn't have been to file an appeal, not a petition, for a writ of mandamus that they actually did right. And then towards the end, it also says Abby and Libby deserve justice. If this matter ever comes to the appellate court system, we will take immediate action, as we do in all of our cases, to see that the rule of law is applied. Is this the attorney general saying, yeah, take it to the appellate court, file this appeal right now, and then we can actually do what you guys are probably asking us to do? We just can't do it because basically, you pulled the wrong lever.
Yeah, so the writ of mandamus, that's an extraordinary writ. You're asking basically a higher judge to direct a judge to do something because they're not following the law. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is, listen, even if an error was made, you should go through the normal appellate process, right? Go to the Court of Appeal. You don't have to necessarily go straight to the Supreme Court. So that's one. So some of it's procedural, and you know there are appellate lawyers in every state that want to make sure the proper procedural mechanism is handled. But they're also creating a record on appeal, right? Because look, when you're prosecuting murder cases, you know that the chance of appeal is very high. It's almost a certainty because a significant percentage of them go to trial because like we talked about, the Rex Heuermann, there's no discount, right? Mm-hmm. So assuming there's a conviction, there's going to be an appeal. And you want to create that record that, you know, even if you don't necessarily agree with what the court did and disqualifying Allen's lawyers, you want to defend it because you don't want that to be a basis. You go all the way to trial, you convict Richard Allen in appellate courts as well. The conviction's fine, but Allen really had the right to choose his own lawyers. So we're going to send this back and we're going to start this whole thing over.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day here, as it sits, it almost feels like Richard Allen has a, not a get out of jail free card, but a get a new trial free card, it seems, if this just continues down this path.
Oh, absolutely. He has a ready-made appellate issue because how the trial judge handled this. And that's your nightmare as a prosecutor. I can tell you, you do all the work, you know, you panel a jury, you get your conviction, and an appellate court says, hey, judge, trial judge, you messed up. We've got to start this whole thing over.
Where will it land?
Well, you never know. And look, an example I like to give is Scott Peterson. After all of these years, we don't know yet, but there may be a new trial there.
There may, so, yeah.
So, you know, these murder convictions, they're not bulletproof. So you got to make sure that you really paper that file and look to not just the trial court on appeal. So I think the AG's office, they're doing the right thing here.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.